The Northern Pacific Railroad, from Brainerd to the junction west of Duluth, passes through a country devoid of interest, except for the evidences of desolation on every hand, left by the terrible forest fire of a few years ago, which left nothing but charred, dead and leafless trees. Leaving the junction, the scene suddenly changes, and you enter a region where large masses and hills of granite seem to rise, as if by magic from the earth, beautiful and sublime beyond description, as you enter the valley of the St. Louis River. With our party on the rear platform of the Pullman car, we watched with unflagging interest the ever-changing panorama, as we thundered over deep gorges, skirted lakes and rivers, and glided through the lovely valleys. Nowhere in Minnesota have we seen such grandeur in nature as is shown in the dalles of the St. Louis. What a mighty force it must have been, to raise from its resting place that immense stratum of granite, break it into a myriad of pieces in every conceivable form, and hurl them into positions at every possible angle, scattering them here, and piling them in huge masses. Over and among them sweeps the brown waters of the St. Louis River, deep, dark and sullen, rushing merrily along, lifting in blinding spray as it dashes against some impassable barrier, then sweeping and foaming over the rapids, until finally it glides silently and smoothly into the calm waters of Spirit Lake, dotted with its emerald islets. We are not beyond the bounds of truth, when we say that we believe no scenery is more beautiful, wild, or romantic in Minnesota. It is a wonder to me that excursions to this region are not more frequent than they are. You can leave Brainerd at 4 o'clock in the morning, spend 7 to 8 hours in enjoyment in Duluth, and be back home in Brainerd at midnight. At 10:30 in the morning we reached Duluth, the Zenith City. We expected to see a city of handsome residences, imposing business blocks, with towering hills, tree-covered and tree-crowned for a background, but how greatly were we disappointed. The hills were there, but instead of the cool shady groves, we saw only a multitude of stumps, dotting the bleak barren hillside, and we instinctively reached for our overcoat, though the day was quite warm. Not a tree of any size was to be seen, for it is a fact known to the citizens of Duluth, if not to the outside world, that trees will not grow there. While we found a few handsome residences and fine business blocks in the heart of the city, the mass of buildings presents the same appearance that all new western towns possess, that of having been erected hurriedly and with no reference to architectural proportions and beauty. But there is a future for the city, both as a summer resort and a commercial port, and in a few years it may rival Minneapolis and St. Paul. Turning our eyes to Lake Superior, the whole scene changed. As far as the eye could reach was the waters of Lake Superior, with here and there a white sail gleaming in the sunlight, or a steamer moving rapidly through the waters, while on the horizon could be seen the long lines of smoke from steamers out of sight. Nearer to us was the semicircular cape, or island, separated from the city proper by the channel through which vessels pass into the harbor. This island certainly has the most beautiful natural scenery around Duluth, with its large trees and pebbly beaches, and one can pass hours wandering over it, and never be wearied.